Have you tried CTC math yet with your child? Here's a testimonial from another happy homeschool mom. Amber said, "I'm absolutely thrilled with CTC math. It's a rare find that I've used with my children for more than 5 years now. I have 6 children using CTC math, and each child has found it easy to navigate and very applicable. I love seeing them enjoy this math program and grow in their mathematical journey. Thank you so much for all that you are doing in providing quality math lessons for my children. If you're looking for a great online math program, visit ctcmath.com. That's ctcmath.com. Hey everyone, this is Yvette Hampton. Welcome back to the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. I am back with Rachel Carmen and Abby, and we are talking about rest for the weary. This is part 2 of our conversation. If you missed part 1, go back and listen to Monday's episode. Abby and I are just sitting here soaking this all in because it's so encouraging to us. And in the last episode, we were talking about recognizing how when we're becoming weary. And Rachel talked about us being weary and anxious, and that all leads to panic, and how when we panic, we freeze. And we've all been in moments like that where, you know, our child is about to, I mean, I've literally had this happen. Our child's about to get hit by a car. And
oh, no!
You just, I mean, you scream at the top of your lungs, and you literally freeze, and your whole body just goes into shock, and you don't know what to do. Except scream. And thankfully she did not get hit by the car. my scream saved her. But sometimes in our lives, we may not scream externally, but we're screaming internally. I was talking with a friend of mine the other day, and she was just talking about, she's in this really difficult season right now. And she said, I'm good at acting like I have it all together, and I put a smile on my face, and I can play the part. She's like, but inside I'm falling apart. And I think so many of us feel that way. And we do at different times again. I mean, there just are different seasons in our lives. I have felt that many times in the last few years as our family's been on this journey. And even before that, times where I've gone through difficulties and where I just feel like I can't do another day of this. And I'm just literally screaming inside. And sometimes you don't even know who to scream to. You know, it's because you don't want to be labeled as that person who's complaining or who's whining or who's, you know, just struggling with the thing that you're struggling with. You want to present yourself as someone who has it all together, who's strong enough to get through this. And especially when it comes to your kids, you want to be able to show your kids that you've got it together, kids. I can do this. Mom's got this. And it's hard to be vulnerable. It's hard to be real sometimes with our husbands, with our moms and our dads and with our friends. And so I love that you talked about there are kind of our 3 things that will help us overcome this weariness. And you talked about worship for worry. So instead of worrying, we worship. Mm-hmm. Acknowledgement for anxiety, and then prayer for praise. So
prayer for panic.
I wrote that down. Prayer for panic. Prayer, or we could say praise for panic.
Prayer
for panic. So Rachel, can we kind of dig into those things, and can you unfold those for us and how we can? And so let's just start with worship. You talked about being in your laundry room and how you had your hymnal in there. And for our family, I mean, especially over the past year, we love to play worship music. And I just need that for my soul. It does something to me to just be able to worship the Lord. I think I've shared this. Shane and Shane is my absolute favorite new recording artist. I love listening to them because they sing the Psalms. I mean, they sing lots of things, but they sing, you know, old hymns and stuff, but they have one album that's just Psalms. And so they're just singing scripture, and it just letting that pour over me is amazing. Mm-hmm. So talk a little bit more about worship and how we can overcome our worry with worship.
Right. So it matters how we set our mind. Paul in Colossians 3 talks about set your mind on things above, right? Mm-hmm. It matters what we're listening to and what we're taking in.
Yep.
And when you start to feel that worry come on, I don't know of a better thing for you to do than start praising God, singing his praises, whether it's going through your hymnal. I like Chris Rice. because he does a lot of the hymns. Yeah. And I heard him interviewed one time, and sometimes he actually researches some of the stanzas that have been cut over the years. Mm-hmm. And so I'm hearing this new verse. I'm just picking a hymn to Rock of Ages. And I'm like, where has that been? That's awesome. So, and I collect hymnals, which is kind of a fun thing. And sometimes in the older hymnals, you'll find a new verse, which can be very, very much a blessing. So
yeah,
you feel that. And again, this goes back to making the decision that you want to be self-aware enough to be able to know when you're starting to have these, and don't delay turning that music on.
Yeah.
And I know that there have been times in my life and I've been so worried. And I think we talked about this one time. We went through 22 months of unemployment once upon a time, which was completely unfun. And the worry, I mean, just sat on me like, you know, a 500-pound weight. And I can remember just being so worried. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Right. And I had a very dear friend that I called one time and I couldn't even talk. I mean, this was me on the other end of the phone. But she knew me well enough to know that it was me. Right.
Yeah.
Best advice ever. Best advice ever. Rachel, where's your hymn book?
Oh, I love that. I love that.
Go get your hymn book.
And I think...
That's friendship.
And yeah. That's the best friend there is. And I think the reason we worry, or for me anyway, is I've taken my eyes off of the Lord. And there was a period not too long ago, and Yvette and I talked about it, where my eyes were on everything that was happening in our culture, in our country, in our nation. And I just, it overwhelmed me. And I was so worried. And I found that song, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, in his wonderful face. And all of the things of this world will grow dim. Yeah. And it just, it made me realize the reason we worry is because we've taken our eyes off the Lord. Exactly. But when we turn our eyes onto Jesus, it will go. I mean, they can't coexist. We cannot be looking at Christ and worrying at the same time. It doesn't work that way. And so I just, when I start to feel it, I turn on that song and I remember where my eyes need to be. And then another helpful hint to moms, I found a station that is just, it's just the piano worship music. So there's no lyrics. And what's so fun about that is I will play it softly. It's not like blaring. I blare a lot of music, but that one I play softly. And I'll hear the kids go about their day and they start to sing the lyrics because they recognize the song.
Yeah.
And then everybody's just kind of quietly, and it quietly resets everybody.
It does. It does. It sets the tone. And I think we've got a lot of anger in culture right now. Mm-hmm. Right. And I think it's because we're not worshiping God.
Yeah. Yep.
Right.
Not only does it stem worry, it stems anger. It's very difficult to be ticked off to the tune of holy, holy, holy.
Right. Yes.
It's just hard to do. And so I think we have an opportunity. You know, we have in Hebrews, take every thought captive, or 1 Corinthians, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Mm-hmm. Every thought captive. And how do you do that when you feel like it's just spinning? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it feels like it's spinning. And I'm fairly confident it actually is spinning. But we're not called to spin.
Right.
So we have to take control of our own domain. And moms, we are mistress of our domains.
That's right.
I remember Elizabeth George, I think it was several years ago, like 20 years ago, I took a Bible study, one of her books, and she described moms as the thermostat of their home.
Yeah, that's right.
We have the ability to set the tone. Mm-hmm. And when you're turning on instrumental praise music, you are intentionally setting the tone. Mm-hmm. And it can be subtle, but significant, right?
Yes. Yeah.
What are we listening to? How are we going to set our mind on things above, right? Yeah, right. I remember when one of my sons, and I tell this story when I talk about that child, one of my sons would rage when he was little. And the only thing I could do to calm him was to hold him and rock him and sing hymns. Mm. What a beautiful visual.
Yeah.
That when we're raging, sitting in the Father's lap and letting him hold us and rock us and calm us.
Yep.
I really believe that's what worship does.
Yeah, I agree.
So, sure.
Which he does virtually through his word as well. I mean, exactly. Sometimes, you know, oftentimes I'm just so overcome with emotions and just overwhelmed with life that I'll sit down and read my Bible and it's almost like I can't. Not that I don't want to.
Yeah,
I just,
no, I get
that
it.
My,
yeah.
my brain can't even focus on right. what it needs to focus on. And so, you know, I'll sit and just read. Oftentimes it'll be a psalm that I'm familiar with. Because if I read it over and over and over again, eventually it'll start
yeah.
to sink in a little bit
right.
more. And,
right.
And there just is so much rest and being held by the Lord through worship, through his word, through prayer, through all of these things. Because that's when we feel his presence. We can, the Holy Spirit, if we're believers, if we've surrendered our life to him, we have the Holy Spirit living in us and we can feel his arms wrapped around us,
exactly.
even in the most weary of times. So
exactly.
let's take a quick break. We will be right back.
Learning to write well in order to effectively communicate ideas can be a challenge for many students. Equipping teachers and teaching parents with methods and materials which will aid them in training their students to become confident and competent communicators and thinkers is key. The Institute for Excellence in Writing is an organization dedicated to training, mentoring, and providing a model for teachers in a clear, sequential, and effective method of teaching writing that reinforces history, science, literature, and other content areas.
Our methodology begins with dictated content. So rather than saying to a child, here, think of something and learn to write, we actually give them the content, and through our 9 units, gradually wean them from dictated content to that blank page.
Through the process of learning to write well, students learn how to think clearly and to express themselves eloquently and persuasively. For more information or to order the program, visit IEW.com.
We are back with Rachel. We are talking about ways to overcome weariness. And so we were talking about worship before the break. Let's jump into acknowledgement, which overcomes, is how we can overcome anxiety.
Anxiety, mm-hmm. right. So again, a confession, I spent a lot of my time pushing past worry and anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. Just not even, you know, that's what other people do, not me. And so I was unwilling to acknowledge it. And mm-hmm. so when I say acknowledge as the antidote for anxiety, I'm suggesting we acknowledge two things. One, that we are being anxious mm-hmm. and that it's not helping anybody for us to deny it.
Yeah.
And so, which is true with most things, it's most often more beneficial for us to just admit where we are than it is for us to insist on we're not where we are, because we are where we are.
Right,
so,
right.
I mean, come on now. So admitting it, acknowledging, okay, wow, I have allowed myself to progress from worry and now I'm just anxious. And when I say anxious, worry is something that you've taken your eyes off, Abby, you said this, you've taken your eyes off God and you focused on it, mm-hmm, right? Mm-hmm. So that's worry. Anxiety mm-hmm. is when it's always rolling in your head, you know, mm-hmm. like you can't hardly do anything without this being in your head.
Yeah.
And you've stepped even further away from God. So mm-hmm. your focus is even more on the person, the situation, the problem, the obstacle, whatever. And so once you acknowledge it and you're willing to say, wow, I've progressed past worry, now I'm actually anxious about this to the point that I can't not think about it, acknowledging first that that's where you are is just key. Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Then we need to acknowledge who he is. And he's mm. sovereign of the universe. He is over all things. Again, here in this passage, Jesus is saying to his listeners, look at the birds. Your heavenly Father takes care of the birds.
Yeah.
He takes care of the birds. And the other thing that he's saying in this passage is he takes care of the birds' needs. Mm-hmm. So what you need to hear here is Jesus knew that we would succumb to being worried.
Yeah.
And he knew that we would worry about what we were going to eat and what we were going to wear. Mm-hmm. And what does he do? He has us look to creation to show us that the God of the universe, who spoke light into existence, provides for the birds what they need to eat. Mm. And he also calls our attention to the lilies of the fields and says, even Solomon was not robed as one of these. So he says, God's got it.
Yes.
God's got it. That little phrase sounds trite and probably oversimplistic. I'm in my 25th year If there was one thing that I wish I could have literally wrapped my hands, my heart, and my head around in the beginning of my homeschooling journey, that would have been it. God's got it.
Yeah.
God's got it. Because right. I kept thinking I had to get my head and my heart and my hands around it. I kept thinking I had to do this.
Yeah.
If right. I could have just leaned into the fact that he's got it.
Right.
It would, I could have spared myself a lot of anxiety. And that's what really getting back to acknowledging who God is.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's so good. And you kind of acknowledge how you went through a period where you wouldn't acknowledge it. I'm not panicking. Yeah. I'm not worrying. Everything's fine. Yeah. And I think on the other end, you have the moms who they know they're worrying. They know they're panicking, but here's what they do. They tight fist it. I can fix it. Yeah. I can make this happen. Yeah. I'm aware there's a problem, but by golly, I'm going to fix this because I've got this, for goodness right. sake. And I think that is really what that is pride, and which is really a lack of acknowledgement of God, mm-hmm. to think that we're going to fix it, that we can tight fist it and make it happen. And if we can just get everything in order, the anxiety is going to go away. And that is a lack of acknowledging God, and it's going to make things worse. It's going to lead to the panic, because all of a sudden we're going to figure out, wait a minute, I can't fix this. I don't have this. No matter how hard I work at this, I'm only growing more weary. And the situation is growing more intense. And then we go into panic. And so where, take us into that.
Well, panic. Wait, before we go into panic, I want to back up, because I agree with what you're saying, Abby, and I see that. But how practically, because I know for myself, there are times where I recognize, okay, I'm stressing out about this thing. I'm worried about that thing. I'm anxious about something. And I trust the Lord. I know that he is present. I know that he hears me. But practically speaking, aside from worship, because we already talked about worship, that's an easy thing. Put on some worship music. You know, we live in a day and age where you don't have to have a record player or a tape cassette player. Right. You can open, you know, turn your phone on and listen to any music you want.
Right.
But how practically can we give our worry and our anxiety to the Lord? And I know we're going to talk about prayer. So I know that plays into it as well. But once we acknowledge it, How do we release that?
Yeah. And that's an excellent question. And again, this is not, I am not handing out magic wands today.
That's why we brought you on. Come on.
I know. Sorry about that. I should have said that earlier. Nor do I offer pixie dust. Right. This is going to be something, and this is the beauty of sanctification. Our justification is instant, right? Mm-hmm. That's the easy part of this process that we go through. Mm-hmm. So that's step one. We're justified, right? But this sanctification is an ongoing process. Mm-hmm. And as much as we want it to be instant, I want it to be instant, right? I'm here to tell you 25 years in, it's not.
Right.
It's a process. Mm-hmm. And so I think part of it is leaning into that growth, right? Mm-hmm. And learning more about who he is and more about where we are and where we need to go, right? Mm-hmm. So I'm going to suggest something radical. If you sense yourself progressing through this, this is not the right direction for any of us, right? Worry, anxiety, panic. It's not the direction we're supposed to be going. If you feel yourself progressing there, you got to turn off social media.
Yeah.
Yes.
The thing that feeds this progression is comparison.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And when you get on, and I don't care if it's Pinterest and somebody bakes a better birthday cake or their kid's room is decorated cool, or they put out a vegetable garden, much less if their kids are, you know, dressed and ready for school by 5:30 in the morning. You know, I mean, it's just not a winnable thing.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of worry, anxiety, and panic cycles for moms. And I do think it's somewhat of a cycle. Because I think we get to a place where we can arrest it. And then what do? We take our eyes off Jesus and here we go again, right? Yep. I think we're feeding it by our own hand. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I think it's a way that the enemy is taking us down one by one through discouragement and doubt and then despair and depression.
Yep.
And that's not the direction we want to go. So a very proactive thing you can do is know yourself.
Yeah.
And again, I will confess, I don't need to spend a lot of time on social media.
Yeah.
Because the comparisons and the intensity is I start taking on what everybody else is doing as all the things that I've never done. Mm-hmm. And I'm an abject failure. I'm a terrible mother. I'm a terrible cook. I'm a terrible fill in the blank, yeah. right? Because yeah. look at what everybody else is doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I have to severely limit how often I'm on there because mm-hmm. it's not good for me.
Yeah.
The enemy can so easily use it as a trigger for me.
Yeah.
Right.
So
yeah.
that's an unpopular thing to say.
No,
but I think it's a necessary thing.
Yes.
To say.
No, I agree completely.
It's becoming more popular.
Yeah.
I think it's becoming more because I think we realize our limitations and it's not just the comparison. It's that we're starting to take on everybody else's stresses.
Yeah.
We're trying to take on all the negativity in the entire universe at this
right.
point into And then what we do is we take our eyes off the job God gave me to do today with my kids.
Yeah.
So I couldn't agree more. Get that we need to know. And some people can handle it better than others. So
yes.
that's where journaling comes in as well. Write it down and yep. you'll notice the more I'm on it, the more stressed out I am. That's
exactly.
so
yeah.
good. That's
and
acknowledging him.
Yep. I love that too, Rachel. I have a family member who really struggles with her identity. And I see that so much of that, it comes from the time that she spends on social media because she compares.
Pain.
And so, yeah. And it really does, it messes with our psyche and we forget who we are in Christ.
Yes.
When we see what we think others are and who they are, which is actually not a realistic picture of them either.
Right.
But
we all know that.
Right.
But we don't know that emotionally.
Right.
Right. So it's like head knowledge, but our emotions get caught up in the, oh,
yes.
my goodness, look, oh,
yeah.
It's not real. It's not real.
Right. It's so not real.
I have a story for this in scripture, right? So another thing that you can chase and look at. So
well, let's pause really quickly because we're actually out of time again. I know this time goes so quickly. Let's come back tomorrow and finish this conversation because there's still so much I want to talk about and I want to hear. Let's just keep rolling with this. So,
perfect.
So thank you, Rachel, for being with us again today.
Thank
and
you.
I don't think we said perfect. This at the end of the last one, but for those listening who may not know how to find Rachel Carmen, where can people find out more about you?
I have a blog at rachelcarmen.com and I have a YouTube channel that's a new development
okay.
and I'm on Facebook. So I look forward to hearing from all of you.
Okay. Sounds great. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. We'll see you guys back here tomorrow.
Every year, parents just like you are discovering Classical Conversations, a vibrant, supportive, Christian homeschooling program that's been equipping parents since 1997 with the resources, tools, guidance, and encouragement they need to homeschool their children with confidence and prepare them for a lifetime of success. Visit our website at classicalconversations.com to find a nearby community and learn more about homeschooling the Classical Conversations way. Classical Conversations, Christian homeschooling simplified.